Thank you, Austin. Austin's been leading worship for us for a few weeks, totally solo. And I don't know how many musicians in the room there are, but it's a difficult thing to get up and just be acoustic and solo all at the same time leading. So thank you so much for the extra work that's involved with that, Austin. We love you. God is so good. I'm thankful for those of you who might be here for the first time tonight. I failed to mention this, but my name is Jeremiah. I'm the youth pastor here, and I'm responsible basically for everybody 13 to graduation at Word of Life Assembly of God. So I love my job. I can't believe I get paid to do it. I hope Pastor Claude doesn't listen to that on the recording, but it won't matter because it's true. I love you guys, and I care for you and what your future holds. Tonight, we are starting a new series called The Struggle. We're starting it. It's basically a study of the book of Hebrews. So if you read your Bible on your own, I don't know how many of you guys in the room do that. If you want to kind of go along with us through this series at home, you can read through the book of Hebrews in the New Testament and kind of be on pace with us. The main ideas are from that book. It's the whole idea that that comes from that book of Hebrews. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you're like, what, the only Hebrew I know is the kind that they put in a bun and sell at the ballpark because they're like Hebrew national hot dogs, then don't worry about that, any of that. I'm glad you're here, and you don't need to think through what Hebrews are. But it has something for all of us tonight, and before I get started, I just want to ask if we could all pray and ask God to speak through me. And actually, what happens in a setting like this is pretty cool, because all of us come in, we come from different houses, we come from different families, we come from different schools, and God's the only one who knows what the struggle is in our hearts. And tonight, I just want to take a minute before we, as we move from song into talk, to say to God as a group, have your way here tonight. So if you would, just bow your head and close your eyes with me as I ask Him to help. Father, this is your night. This talk is your talk. I pray, God, that you would, in me and in everybody in this room, help us to identify our own struggles and to be open to the idea that the answer could be you and what that means to us moving forward. Praise you, God, and I thank you for tonight and for everybody here. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I know some of you might be thinking, man, there's a lot of Jesus talk and a lot of prayer, but we'll check this thing out and see what happens. So I'm glad you're here. The series that we're doing is called The Struggle, as I said. Tonight's message is entitled Power Struggle. And the big idea I want you to grab hold of tonight is whoever wins the struggle, and if you can look up at the screens and see this, whoever wins the struggle is most powerful. So if you left here right now and you wrote this down in your notebook and you left, and you memorized this statement, I'd be like, man, you got it tonight. This is the big idea. Whatever wins the struggle is most powerful. And some of you are like, I don't really get that. Some others of you are like, yeah, duh, common sense. But let me tell you a quick story about how I had a struggle in my life and how the most powerful one in the story won out. Some of you may have heard this before, but weather the storm with me. I was in sixth grade, and I had just been transferred to a junior high. And I had been transferred to that junior high because I had a back injury. In sixth grade, I was about 5 foot nothing, and I weighed about 220 pounds. So I was short and heavy set, and I had been in a couple of fights with my brother and involved in some sports where I had some back problems, and it caused me to have to ride an elevator up and down at school. So they moved me from one school that was all stairs to another school with elevators. And if you haven't put the pieces together yet, it enabled an environment for me to be the center of some conversation, because I was short, heavy, and rode the elevator up and down at school. And some kids took the opportunity to make me the object of their affection. And if you're listening by podcast, that's in quotations, because really what I mean is they picked on me relentlessly. And it messed me up. It hurt my feelings and all that stuff. But what really messed me up most is on this bus ride to and from school, there was this kid who was in like one grade ahead of me, but he probably should have been like 8 grades ahead of me. And he was about 6 foot tall, and he had like a full grown beard and chest hair, I think, because it like grew out of his shirt. And really, me ever trying to get into a fight with him would have looked something like this. If you can look up at the screens, if you can look up here, it looked kind of like that. You know, like I'm the little one and he's the big one. Until one day, this guy met my powerful big brother. All right, so I'm on the school bus and I'm riding home and I'm riding to school, and the whole way back and forth, this guy is just picking on me relentlessly. I mean, every name that you could ever think of for somebody who's short and heavy were the ones that he chose to use as my name. And as he did that, I remember just looking out the window of the bus and thinking, as tears came down my face, I don't want anybody to know that I'm crying right now. I don't want anybody to know. And this was like sixth grade, you know, I'm just kind of falling in love with all my female teachers and thinking, you know, that's cool, I guess. And every day I would get up and I'd wipe the tears off my face before I got out of my seat and I'd walk home because it was about a little bit of a ways home. And I'd get in the house and nobody would know the difference, right? So the next year, we moved into a different area of town and my big brother, my big powerful older brother, ended up being on the bus with me. Right now, in case you don't know this, you might not have met him. He comes to church now. It's great. We love each other. But at that time, he had already hit his growth spurt, but he wasn't short and heavy. He was like in a couple years ahead of me, and he was already 6 foot, and he was, I think, already 280 pounds. I'm exaggerating a little bit. He was much bigger than me, but he was also not overweight. He was all muscle. And he sat down. He came into the bus, and he sat down in the chair in front of me, and his tail end, his behind, his butt, two T's, was hanging off the side of the seat. And I was kind of like, what is going to happen? Just kind of the jittery nerves of the bus that are already there because I had been picked on, but even more so there because this is the first day my brother's on the bus, and I'm thinking, man, I hope this kid doesn't pick on me because then Dan's going to know what's been happening, and I'm going to look like the biggest coward in the world for never stepping up to this guy, and all my worst fears are going to come true because everybody's going to know the struggle that's within. And just as my brother sits down, I see his butt kind of hanging off the seat, and this other guy's sitting in the chair next to me, and I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, what is going to happen? Just this dynamic. And next thing I know, this young man takes the opportunity to kick my brother in the butt. Kicks him in the butt. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good, because I know what he does with his mouth, and I know what he does with his fists, because, you know, who's got an older brother? Who's got an older brother? You know what happens when you start kicking each other? Bad things can happen. So this dude kicks my brother Dan in the butt, thinking this is going to be funny, and my brother just turned around and was like, dude, kick me again, and you're going to die. And I was like, oh, God, please, if you love me, let him kick him again. Please. Let him kick him. And sure enough, he kicks Dan in the butt. And I'm telling you what, I can't even remember the speed at which it happened. But I know within seconds, the position was reversed, and Dan was on top of Gentleman X in the corner of the bus with his hand on the guy's collar, with his fist back, and the roles had been reversed very quickly because of the power of the moment. And instead of tears running down my face, I'm jumping for joy and happy as can be. And the tears are not falling from my face, but rather they're falling from this guy's face, this 40-year-old eighth grader, right? Not really, all right? So he's immensely scared, and the struggle was won by the most powerful one involved, right? So that's a very simple, plain story to communicate this truth, that this big idea, that whoever wins the struggle is most powerful. Whatever wins the struggle is most powerful. All right? Tonight we're going to be talking about the idea that struggles happen. Struggles will continue to happen, but the winner of the struggle is most powerful. All right? How many of you struggle with something? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer that, but what are you struggling with? Don't answer. What are you struggling with right now? What are the things you're struggling with? I know it's not going to be like a hairy, bearded, eighth grade dude on the bus. Maybe it is. If it is, then we'll talk later. I'll send my brother to your bus. You guys can hang out. You could pay him. You know, it'd be good. We could set up like an anti-bullying program. But what are you struggling with? What is it? Is it physical struggles? Is it physical struggles in reality? Is it like a physical illness? Is it an ailment? Is it something that you just can't get past because your messed up knee won't let you perform at the rate you want to? Is it a struggle that enables you or disables you? Is it a physical struggle? Is it maybe something that's physical that you haven't brought on yourself, but somebody else has put on you, like this dude? Right? Maybe you have done something in the past that is lingering with you, that has caused you to be in struggle. You feel like your hands are handcuffed. Maybe at some point, they've literally been handcuffed. And it's this continuing conversation that's going on. Can I ever amount to anything? I still have to go back to court. I still have to deal with this. What are the physical struggles you deal with? Maybe not. Maybe they're more emotional. And as we talk about hands locked together by a chain, it's not necessarily a physical issue, but it's more of an emotional issue. And you just feel like all the time your hands are joined together and you can't get out. You're locked down. You're tied up. And there's no hope. As we talk about physical struggles, you know, maybe some of you, you know, I kind of have an insecurity, a physical insecurity. Maybe some of you wrestle with the same thing. I know I talked about myself being short and a little heavy set when I was younger. It's still one of those things that bothers me today. And I figured, you know, just as part of tonight's conversation about breaking free from the struggles, I was just going to take a picture of myself and share it with you guys and show you, like, exactly what I struggle with. Because my back hair just kills me. And I took this picture earlier today and I felt like, you know, no, it's not really me. I'm just kidding. That's not really me. All right, this one's me. All you guys that are laughing right now, don't laugh. Don't you laugh, especially you 13, 14-year-olds, because I'm telling you what, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. All you people want to wax it, whatever. But in all seriousness, maybe it's not so... You know, that is an issue. There's physical stuff that we're insecure about and we deal with on a daily basis, especially in this world today. How many of you guys, don't raise your hands, but you've gone to school and you've thought, is somebody going to notice this? Whatever your this is. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to display what it is, but you've gone into an environment and you've said, man, I hope nobody sees that about me. Maybe it's not something somebody can see. Maybe it's a struggle internal. Maybe you've been identified with one of these words. Maybe in your life you're taking medication because you have a struggle with attention and you have a difficulty with joy and happiness and you find yourself just depressed and you have a struggle that seems to weigh you down. Listen, struggles can seem really powerful. Whatever's winning the struggle in your life is most powerful. Whatever's winning is most powerful. It's true of all levels and all places. We've talked about physical struggles, those things that lay underneath the surface. Some of us have emotional stuff going on. I know this. I've had enough conversations with some of you to know that maybe it's not your struggle, but maybe it's the struggle of someone else that has created a situation that you need to deal with now. It's not your fault, but mom and dad can't settle things. Mom and dad just can't figure things out. So now you've got to jump between one house and another. You've got to come back to mom's when dad sends you. And you've got to go back to dad's when mom sends you. It's difficult. It's a powerful struggle. Maybe, you're dealing with emotional and physical struggles. And maybe you're figuring out or trying to figure out what it's going to look like in this next stage of life. And you have a moral struggle. You're trying to figure out what truth is and what direction you should take, where you should go, what you should do. Some of you are just about to jump off into college and you're thinking, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to travel. I want to do lots of things, but I just don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to have sex with my boyfriend. Is that the right thing to do? Is that the wrong thing to do? I don't know if I want to smoke that or drink that. All these different questions that you have to wrestle with that are struggles in life based on your morals and your values. Maybe for you it's a moral struggle tonight. Maybe some of you are dealing with physical, emotional, and moral issues, struggles, and I'll tell you what, you probably look like this guy. I'll tell you what, when I'm dealing with physical, emotional, and moral issues, that's what my heart looks like. That's what I feel like, right? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you look or feel that way? If not, good. Wait around a while, you will. But here's the question I want to ask you. No matter what your struggle, No matter what you're struggling with, the truth is still the same, that whatever is most powerful is winning. Whatever is most powerful is winning. How are you going to overcome your struggle? Whatever it might be. How are you trying to overcome it now, and it's not working? How have you been trying to overcome it, and it fails? Because that thing is just so powerful. Maybe it seems like your whole world is falling apart, and everything you try to do to keep peace in your mind and in your heart just keeps falling short. Let me tell you something. Our power struggles are different, but they're not new. All these struggles that we go through, they're different than in years past, but they are not new. We deal with them daily. We deal with new struggles, or we deal with different struggles daily, but they've been around for centuries and centuries and centuries. And there's people that ask the same question about their same struggles, even in the New Testament, even in the Bible. And in the Bible, there's answers for struggles that we deal with that go way beyond our current environment. They go way beyond our trying to overcome our struggles and falling short. And they get right to the heart of the issue. Because if it's true that whatever's most powerful wins, then the only answer is to get to the one that's more powerful. To get to that thing, that one, that idea, that concept. Get to the truth that's more powerful than your struggle. Can I submit to you tonight, can I suggest that we consider the idea, the possibility, that it could be true, that there is one who is more powerful than all of our struggles, there is one possibly that's more powerful than everything we've ever known to struggle with? And what if it's true that that one who's more powerful than all our struggles, what if it's true that he wants to make us into something better? What if it's true that the one that's more powerful than all of our struggles is actually on our side? What if that's true in your life? How does it change you? How does it change your struggle? How does it change the physical struggles of your life? How does it change the divorce? How does it change the bullying? How does it change the life you've lived to this point? If the most powerful being in the universe is willing to step into your struggle and win, what does it mean for you? In Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2, this question is addressed. And it took me a while. Honestly, I was reading through Hebrews and I was like, man, what does this matter to teenagers? Because I'm thinking, like, it talks all about, and I'm not going to read the whole chapters today. If I want you, you know, go home and check it out, read through every line. But it talks about Jesus and how he's all powerful and how he's the Son of the Most High God and how he created things even before time began. Jesus was present as a master builder. And he's a high priest, and he uses all kinds of like Christian terms. And I'm just like, man, why does this matter to teenagers? And honestly, that matters to me because I believe in Jesus. It matters. But I know a lot of you in this room tonight, you could care less. Because you're thinking, well, I'll try Jesus out. But to you, for me to say that Jesus is all powerful, it's kind of like, yeah, that's good for you. But what does it matter to me? I get that, and I'm looking at it, I'm going, why does this matter? Why would this matter? And I started thinking it through, and I thought, why did it matter that my brother was more powerful than my bully? Because in the moment that the power shift changes, the winner of the struggle changes. And if it's true, if what Hebrews says is true, and if Jesus is the most powerful being in the universe, if he was present at creation, if he's the heir of heaven, and if the Bible says, which it does, that in his victory over death, he includes us and says, come with me, I'll give you life. If that's true, that means it's the most powerful victory over all the struggles of life. Because check this out, what's the most powerful struggle in all the world? Yeah, I know, I'm not making small the struggles you're dealing with now, because I understand the depth of those, and I hear you when you come into the office and when we talk about the difficulties of life and what you're going through. I hear that, but there's something that's bigger and greater than any struggle you're dealing with right now. And you know what it is? The struggle of life and death. The struggle that someday your heart will stop beating, your eyes will close, you'll take your last breath, and you'll be done. That struggle could happen tonight for some of you. We could leave this place and be done. Now, Jesus, the cool thing about Jesus is that he says, I don't just care about that struggle, that small struggle that you're dealing with now. And I'm saying small, understandably. The small struggle of divorce in your family. But he says, I care about the matter of life and death that rests in your heart to stop beating. And he says this. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. It says this: by God's grace, he, Jesus, fully experienced death in every person's place. Can I submit to you something again tonight? That the possibility that your struggle, your pain in life right now is due to death of humanity? That it's not just a divorce, it's not just a broken leg, it's not just cancer in your loved one or you. It's the effect of death on us altogether. And Jesus said, you know what, I can fix this, but I have to go to the root of the issue. And I have to repair death. And I have to flip it upside down. And Jesus, when he went to the cross, that's exactly what he did. He took sin, what causes death, and crushed it. And he said, this sin, this death, will have no more place in humanity. And I have conquered it. And in the moment he took his last breath, as he was nailed to the cross, he won the struggle of life and death for you. And he said, they don't have to deal with it. They will die, and they will live again, because I have died eternally. He's given us life. The struggle of life and death has been won by Christ. Now, I understand some of that is just like, whoa, what? That is super abstract, and what does that really mean? Great, you know, he died on the cross and he lives again. And some of you are like, what? Like, how does that even work? Well, here's the thing. It might sound crazy, but the word says that God, by his grace, is transforming us day by day into his own image. And whether you believe that or not, the truth is that we are being transformed into something. We're being transformed into something that we're following after. Whatever has the most power in my life is what's winning in me. So I want to ask you tonight, this is the last question I'm going to ask you. What has the most power in your life? What has the most power in your life? Is it a belief that you're right? Is it a belief that your lifestyle is correct and no one can change it? And nothing will ever change my belief that this is true. Or is it a power struggle where you're saying, the most powerful thing in my life is my family. And whatever they tell me to do, I'll do. Maybe it's an insecurity. Maybe it's a thought that if you don't keep up the facade, the show, your life will crumble. It's the most powerful thing in your life. What is it? I don't know what it is. I know what it is for me. But what has the most power in your life right now? What is it? I want to ask you this question. If it's true that Christ is the most powerful being in the universe, why are you settling for a lesser version? Because at some point, the struggle, if that's true, is going to fall. It's going to fail. And that thing you hold on to that's most powerful has probably failed you a few times already. Where you've thought, yeah, this isn't going to work. This is going to hurt if I keep sticking with this. But I got to hang on to it. So tonight, I want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes as we finish with a prayer. I want to pray with you guys. If you're in the room and you've been struggling with something physical, emotional, mental, inside, outside, something someone's done to you, something you've done to someone else, I want to ask you tonight, what difference would it make in your life if you knew that the most powerful being in the universe was in the midst of your struggle with you? and he won. And he beat it. And then he says to you, I want to be in a relationship with you. And you can walk through that struggle together. What would it matter to you? What kind of difference would it make? I want to ask you tonight to believe. If you do anything, if you get anything from tonight, the truth is that the most powerful, whatever is most powerful, is what wins the struggle. I want to challenge you tonight to believe that God is the most powerful, and watch as he wins the victories of those struggles. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I ask you tonight, for those in the room who are on both sides of that, wondering if it's true and believing it's true, God, I pray that for all of us, you would speak to us personally about what our next step is. I pray, God, that we would ask ourselves the question, what if that's true? How should it change me? And we would run forward towards that. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for listening.